Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Oh, thank you, Dave. Yes, here we are at the beginning of December. Can you believe how fast November went? Oh my gosh, December the 1st, 2011. Countdown has begun in a few different ways, ladies and gentlemen. My name is indeed Trish Hennessy. This is all about hybrid jazz, and we sure had a hybrid jazz show the other day, didn't we? With Chris McNulty, talking about her beloved son, Sam. Oh, my goodness. It was a great show. And hopefully, despite a little headache Sister Child has here today, it's going to be lovely. Not only do we have December babies galore, but we have early Christmas gifts. We have one of them named Luis Munoz, who's coming up with us next hour. One of my favorite albums of the past year or so has been Invisible. You're going to hear some tracks and hear about something new that Luis is working on. And another gift we have, Corinthia Cromwell right here. She is from Baltimore. She is a saxophonist extraordinaire. And, ladies and gentlemen, she has a song from her Peace of Mind Outside the Lines CD called Phil's Gift. I told you we were going to get gifts today. Here we are, Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy and Corinthia Cromwell, a.k.a. Chrissy, Phil's Gift. Enjoy this one.
fine. As long as you live, someone who loves you tender like I do, you'll never find, no matter where you search, someone who cares about you. It'll take the end of all time, someone to understand you like I do. You'll never find the rhythm, the rhyme, all the magic we shared, just a
goodness, almost speechless after that song. Whoo! I told you today was going to be all about December babies, and that is one. On Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy, Lou Rawls. Born on this day back in 1933, and we lost him in January of 2006. Whew, back in the day for that song, his biggest, You'll Never Find Another Love Like Mine. When he came upon the scene, nobody knew what to do. There was this breath of fresh air that came from someplace, and even Frank Sinatra said, the classiest singing and the silkiest chops in the singing game belonged to Lou Rawls. He was not lying, and you know Frank Sinatra did not tolerate fools. Lou Rawls was just so entrenched in jazz and soul and blues, charity work. He was one of those megastars. That from his album, you have to get this, back in the 70s, All Things in Time. Oh, my gosh. You'll see a picture of Lou in his prime. And it was, I guess about that time, because I had been into him for such a long time, one of the things that riveted me to Lou Rawls was this. You know, I don't have to tell you that back in the day, and still today, things are iffy, and it doesn't make any sense at all, because this is 2011. But back in the 60s, if you had an interracial romance going on, sister, brother, child, oh my goodness. Well, this is what Lou did. Now, Lou was married a few times, but he was seeing this Caucasian woman, and what happened is that they were in the South. She came from a prominent family, so she would have to ride in the back seat of a car down in the seat to go to see him, because she knew that there would be no approval of seeing Lou Rawls, who wasn't certainly as big at the time. And he told her, he said, someday I'm going to build you a glass house on top of a hill, and you'll laugh at all the people who put you through this hell. And he did. I just loved him for that. And they had a couple of kids, and they split, which is a shame, because I think that as she went down the road, as he went down the road, I think they regretted parting with each other because the love was so strong, you know. Woo! Eric Marienthal we heard from as well. Sax man, oh my goodness, L.A.-based, Berkeley grad to the nth, a distinguished alumnus award for achievement in contemporary jazz. And since that time, many years ago, he started out with Al Hurt, too, by the way, in 1980, over 65-plus countries visited, recorded a dozen CDs, has played on countless TV and film and documentary stuff, was with Chick Corea's Electric Band, and very much involved with his charity, too. Maybe it's something to do with December Babies. His birthday is the 13th. He has done something every year for High Hopes Head Injuries, and it's exactly as it says, something that has to do with any kind of head injury. I'm not sure why his passion is in this direction, but it's wonderful because he's raised over $1 million+ for the cause. So I believe that's, well, certainly Eric Marienthal, MarienThal.com, has more information, and you'll find out about the charity on that page. And we started off with Corinthia Cromwell. My friend Chrissy, Baltimore-based, a jazz and gospel CD that is just so choice. Peace, P-E-A-C-E, and P-I-E-C-E, both. Peace of Mind Outside the Lines, something brand new. Saxophonist, vocalist, songwriter. She just had a CD release party a few months ago with Kirk Whalum on board at her huge church, Mount Pleasant Baptist Church, and she has been on stage with the late, great Wayman Tisdale, Marion Meadows. She has been in films, Malcolm X, Head of State, Boomerang. She went to Howard, New York University, and studied with some greats. She and her Evolution Band are doing great things, and she loves the idea, as Kirk does, of making sure folks know that gospel and jazz are not opposite to each other, but they're very much working together to heal a lot of people that God knows need some healing. Whew. We've got Luis Munoz coming up next hour, and we've got some nice folks in the chat room, Griselda and Wanda, Chris Matthews. And look, you know what? I can do without the little chatter here about, oh, love Lou Rawls. My mom loved him. All right, look, I know I'm the oldest person in the group here, but that's okay. We've got a lady here who's also in her 50s coming up, and I know Cassandra Wilson might not want me to say that, but you know what? After you reach a certain age, aren't we all just grateful to be here? Come on now. But we're not going to start off with Cassandra right now, though she is a December baby. Also one, the late, great Chet Baker. Oh, my gosh. You know, I spent a lot of time this morning reading about Chet Baker, and I didn't know whether to thank God for being alive or to cry. This man was such an enigma, so strong in his craft, so beautiful when he started out, and like so many other jazz artists, got caught up in drugs. This is something very special. The only Christmas album that he ever did. And it was done in 1986. Interesting story about that, which I'll tell you in a bit. But this is from Have Yourself a Jazzy Little Christmas, Silent Nights, Chet Baker on the trumpet. Oh, Come All Ye Faithful on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Thank you. Take these broken wings and learn to fly all your life. You were only waiting for this moment to arrive. Blackbirds singing in the dead of the night. Take these sunken eyes and learn to see all your life. You were only waiting for this moment to be free. just peace. And while you're listening, it couldn't hurt and might be nice if what the season brings could last beyond one silent night. I really don't want much for Christmas. No hunger's high upon my wish list. No fancy toys, please give instead a roof above each homeless child's head. It's all so grand and jolly. We deck the halls with boughs of holly, yuletide carols and cozy fires, but somewhere there's no rejoicing. I really don't want much for Christmas. You could lose hate and I'd be blissful. Make all the madness disappear. That's it for what I wish. No diamond-studded gifts. I really don't want much this year, but now.
He wanted for Christmas. He sure got it this year. Eric Benet right there joining Chris Bode. And Eric just got married a couple of months ago to Prince's ex-wife. It's all in the family, baby. You know what? That's so great because Eric Benet met his wife via their charity work together. So we really do wish them a long and happy life because both of them have been through the mill. As far as relationships are concerned, I can't imagine it would be easy to live with Prince, and I can't imagine it would be easy to live with Halle Berry. She looks good, but there are some issues with both of those folks, and bless us all. We all need to be happy and find our soulmate. Maybe that's the case with Eric Benet. Now, if we could just find somebody for Chris Bode. We just had a trumpet sandwich, Chet Baker to start, Chris Bode to end. This from an amazing CD of Chris Bode's December a couple of years ago. Oh, gosh. You know what? It would just be worth it for you to buy it because there's nothing like an Italian Catholic boy doing a version of Ave Maria. Oh, to hear that is just worth everything. Honestly, it's like meat and potatoes Christmas music. If you want a real taste of what the holiday season is supposed to be, you get that CD. And by the way, congrats to Eric Benet again, because he just received, as of last night on the LL Cool J presentation, Be Still My Heart, a Grammy nomination for Best Traditional R&B Song, Sometimes I Cry. So it's been a good year for Eric, and it looks like it's going to continue. Chris, by the way, at the Blue Note in New York, the 15th through the 1st of January. He is going to be doing that Blue Note stint for many days. So if you think of something that you'd like to do and it involves New York City, there would be your ticket right there. Go to the Blue Note and get entertained. He truly is a good entertainer. Cassandra Wilson ain't bad either, from Silver Pony. That's a live CD, and you heard Blackbird. Now, there was a reason why I played that. Not only Cassandra, part and parcel of our December baby motif, her birthday coming up in the next few days on the 4th, but I wanted to play that version of Blackbird. She had a particular way of doing it, but also it's a Lennon-McCartney song. And for those of us who remember, I certainly will never forget, because I had to break the news on the radio that on December the 8th, 1980, John Lennon was killed in New York. And man, that just changed things for a while, and maybe always will for those of us who followed the Beatles at all. Just one of those days that you couldn't believe, and to be the person who was responsible for bringing it on the air. What? That was surreal. Cassandra, by the way, received a Soul Train Award just the other day. She is a 2-time Grammy Award winner. I really love this little piece that the New York Times did about her a couple of months ago in October. And she played at the Lincoln Center. They didn't have a great big deal of fanfare about her appearance, with some longtime personnel that you heard on the CD as well. And the writer seemed to think that she was going about it as if it was a sort of retrospective, like she was doing a swan song of sorts. I sure hope that is not the case. She's going to be, I believe, 56 on her birthday in the next couple of days. And, man, as much as she can turn out, I know that she must be tired from the road, because she's been doing this for a long time and being so creative. Oh, my gosh. Much more than what meets the eye. But just a chance to see her in person, mesmerizing, because she knows how to turn that phrase. And she has lived the songs, as you can probably tell. Chet Baker, that's another story entirely. Not delving into a whole bunch of this, because it's just going to make me too sad. Chet Baker, O Come All Ye Faithful, trumpeter, flugelhornist, and singer, who, by the way, I really think of Chet Baker when I think of Rick Braun. And Rick Braun went through some flack this year because of his new album, in which he sings standards. Chet Baker went through a whole lot of flack, too, when he turned to the vocal part of his career. So I was comforted by that, but not a whole bunch else. Just a gorgeous Okie from Oklahoma, and father wanted him to get into trombone, and right there with him when he turned to trumpet, and made his way into the Army. And 1951, pivotal point for Chet Baker. Charlie Parker wanted him to do some West Coast dates, and that was huge. And from there, got involved with the Jerry Mulligan Quartet. And the way that Jerry Mulligan on baritone sax interplayed on trumpet with Chet Baker was a work of art. And I don't know whether it was this particular period of time, but Chet got real involved with heroin. From the 50s on, I don't know how he lived to be the age, 58, when he passed away in Amsterdam. Because, man, there were some scenarios that you just can't even believe that somebody could survive. And at one point was beaten so badly that he lost his embouchure. I guess that's the correct pronunciation. The lip contours that one needs to have to be able to play trumpet or saxophone. Well, he got false teeth, and I told you there was some significance in what you heard because he did this Christmas album back in 1986, and he had restored Embouchure so that he could play again because he wasn't able to play for a while. So Elvis Costello got involved in his career, and a lot of people cite Chet Baker as a huge influence, and some miss him so, so much still. 1223, back in, gosh, I didn't even have a year. We'll figure it out math-wise, but he died in May of 1988. So Chet Baker for you. Yes, please look him up. I know that my sister friend in Texas, Griselda, wanted to do some research on him. When you do, wow, you are going to be thankful for what you have, honestly. Birthday tomorrow, Wynton Kelly. We remember him, born in 1931, 12/2/1931, passed away April 12, 1971. Just an amazing keyboard player, and you're going to find out right now. And do not forget, coming up in less than 20 minutes, Luis Munoz, one of the visionaries of our time. Wynton Kelly, many said, was another. Here he is. Potluck, Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Thank you. is Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
I used to visit all the very gay places, those come what may places, where one relaxes on the axis of the wheel of life to get the feel of life. From jazz and cocktails, the gals I knew had sad and sullen gray faces with distant gay traces that used to be there. You could see where they'd been washed away by too many through the day. 12 o'clock tales. Then you came along with your siren song to tempt me to madness. I thought for a while that your poignant smile was tinged with the sadness of a great love for me. I guess I was wrong. Again, I was wrong. Life is lonely again. And only last year, everything seemed so sure. Now life is awful again. A trawful of hearts could only be a bore. A week in Paris might ease the bite of it, but all I care is to smile in spite of it. I'll forget you, I will, while yet you are still burning inside my brain. Romance is mush, stifling those who strive. I'll live a lush life in some small dive, and there I'll be while I rot with the rest of those whose lives are lonely too. Lush life.
Now, how would you think I was going to end this hour, huh? I'm talking about December babies today, and honestly, can't think of an entertainer in my life who meant more than Sammy Davis Jr. Honestly, just from a little girl till present day. I mean, he affected me so much. Saw him on the Ed Sullivan Show, knew about his background. Of course, it was a big inspiration that at one time he was married to My Brit. I'm all about that, you know. Just amazing, off the chain, one of a kind, never to be replaced talents. Whenever he did a song, I don't know how he did it, because technically, maybe he wasn't the greatest singer in the world. There was just so much heart and soul and spirit inside of that little body that when it came out, it was bigger, and he stole songs. Whosever song it was, it became his own. That song there, Lush Life. from I've Gotta Be Me, the best of Sammy Davis Jr., born December the 8th, 1925, and we lost him, no surprise, to lung, actually throat cancer, May 16th, 1990. Hardly ever photographed back in the day without a cigarette in his hand. And that aside, you have to understand, I feel so badly for you if you never were alive when Sammy Davis Jr. was alive, because he just made so many inroads and turned people's heads so much, changed people's minds so much. Frank Sinatra just loved him. And Frank, as you probably know, was no saint, but the depth of friendship that they had was like this. When Sammy was going to marry My Brit back, well, how long ago now? In the 60s. Not done, again, go back to the Lou Rawls story. Frank Sinatra endured death threats. Sammy got them all the time. But Frank Sinatra got death threats because Frank said, there's no way I'm going to say no to you as far as being best man is concerned. Even the Kennedys tried to persuade Frank Sinatra not to be best man at that wedding, and Frank said, I don't care. So this was the depth of friendship that Sammy Davis Jr. was able to conjure in his life. And just he cast a spell while he was on this earth, and still. There are some people who do Sammy Davis impersonations, and this is their livelihood. I'm not kidding. There he was, Lush Life. Chuck Loeb, birthday also in December. My favorite Chuck Loeb song, Window of the Soul, from Presence. And started his little journey early on, self-taught guitarist, also a composer, educator, producer. Stan Getz got wind of how good he was back in 1979. And from then, his career was launched. And, of course, with 4Play Now, doing his own thing, Chuck is. He's got a newer CD, Plain and Simple, but doing his thing with 4Play. They're going to be at Jazz Alley today through Sunday. So if you're in Seattle, Washington, get a chance to see Chuck. And I'm sure that 4Play is going to be doing their thing through 2012. We'll keep you posted. Wynton Kelly, we heard to start things off. And I know that we're a little late into things, but that's okay. We're going to get to Luis Munoz in a track very, very soon. Wynton Kelly did his thing with Dizzy Gillespie, Dinah Washington, my gosh, Lester Young, so many, Cannonball Adderley, and of course Miles Davis from 59 to 63. His second cousin is Marcus Miller. These are just facts I'm going to throw at you. His daughter is Tracy Matisek, who's a Philadelphia TV personality. On that track, Potluck from Kelly at Midnight, Paul Chambers on bass, Philly Joe Jones tearing up those drums. Two significant things about Wynton Kelly I want to pass along. He replaced Bill Evans for a single track, but significant track, on Kind of Blue from Miles Davis, Freddie Freeloader, that was Wynton Kelly. Replaced Tommy Flanagan on a significant Coltrane track from Giant Steps, Naima. Yes, Wynton Kelly, 12-2-31-2-4-12-71, another December baby. We're going to get to a song right now. Luis is on the line. I want to make sure that you get a taste of him before we speak to him. Luis Munoz. And this is, what track did I decide on? Because I never am quite sure what I'm going to do. De Alma y Sombra on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Oh, you'll love this. Thank you. Now, it's a good thing that this is not on Skype for visual, because this is indicative of what this man is able to do. He took this album, Invisible, and crafted each song. Actually, I'll go one better than that. Who you just heard is Luis Munoz, and that was a song called The Alma y Sombra from Invisible. Now, I'm going to give you some background on Luis, and I will not let him wait too much longer, but I'll tell you this. Luis grew up in Costa Rica. He studied both music and architecture. And it's architecture's loss that he's not in that field. But what he did is he decided that he was going to be an architect of songs and enchant us for the rest of his life. He's been doing that for many years, over three decades, and very well respected in Costa Rica. But Costa Rica's loss is California's gain. So I'm going to give you a person I believe to be an absolute visionary. Luis Munoz. See, look at the buildup you have.
Whoa, Trish, I'm going to have to live up to that that speech right there. My God.
Well, you know I mean every word. I have been a fan of yours from jump.
You're the best. You're the best. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you are too. I don't even know where to begin to ask you, because honestly, Luis, every song on Invisible has its own story. How long, I mean, I know that this is not your first walk in the park as far as albums are concerned, but how long this process does it take for you to think about a concept for a song? Where does your inspiration come from? That's the question.
Yeah, Trish. Well, first of all, I would like to thank you for having me on your program. This is our second conversation, as you know.
Yes.
And it's always a pleasure just chatting with you. And I would like to thank those who are listening. You know, Trish, I am a very lucky man because I'm able to work at my own pace. I'm not the kind of composer, for example, that I gave it a try for a while where let's say writing music for film or for TV or for theater or stuff like that. I can do it, but it's not really my thing. You know, I cannot like really have like a specific date for me to be done with a certain piece of music. So I just go on my own inner rhythm, you know. And I'm also very lucky in the sense that I'm signed with a label that allows me to take my time.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, and to write anything that I want in any possible style so that I don't have to set myself any barriers when it comes to, aesthetics and direction, musical direction. So in that sense, I'm very, very lucky. My albums take a long time because that's what my heart asked me to do. You know what I mean? So
yes.
For Invisible, it took me a good year to finish everything, to write the music, to arrange it, to orchestrate it, to record it, and then to promote it, to learn it with a live band so that we could perform the music live. Because what I do is I write music once again with no limitation as to orchestration. If a certain piece asks for a 20 or 30 piece orchestra, I go ahead and write it that way and record it that way. But once I perform it, I have to rearrange the music to be performed by a six-piece band, which is what I tour with.
Ah.
So I have to change everything once it's recorded, you know, to adapt, to be adapted to that six-piece, to that sextet, you know. But, yeah, it takes me a long time, you know. But I'm in a rush, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, no, that's a beautiful thing, because I can't imagine that you could be under pressure to turn out these pieces of nirvana. I mean, honestly, it's so stupid to even think about this, but one of the first things I think about when I think about Invisible and you is that silly little slogan that was in advertising, Calgon, take me away. Because you transport anyone who listens to what you have done in the way of composing, arranging your percussion. And not only that, but to have found musicians that get your concept. And
exactly.
You can,
that is difficult.
Wow.
That is very difficult, you know, to be able to have someone, because, you know, of the abstracts of music, you know, you to a certain degree, you can put the notes on the paper and they read it. But music goes way beyond that, way beyond the notes. You know, it's a conceptual thing. It's an abstract thing. It's a thing of soul, a thing of the heart. It's an emotional thing. And that is the difficult thing to translate and to communicate it with the musicians. So when you find someone that can read your thoughts, so to speak, your emotions, so to speak, then you stick with those guys. That's why the guys in my band have been working together with me. I think that the one that has been with me the least has been together for 18 years. And the one that has been the longest with me, I don't even want to tell you because I'm going to date myself.
but oh, my God, decades. That's so wonderful.
Yeah, one of them has been working together with me since we were teenagers.
Oh, and you know what? The only other instance that pops up out of my head that I can think of that's like that, Kenny G has a set of circumstances like that, too.
Is that right?
Yes, he's been working with some of those guys since he was a teenager. And you never take that lightly, because if you can find that in your lifetime, that's a miracle.
Absolutely. It's a you know, a relationship that works, so why change anything? I mean, and it's the dedication and the, you know, they are really like making an effort and saying, I'm going to be there for you, Luis, you know. And that is priceless.
And then they get, not only do they get excited at the possibility of new work for you, which I know that you're going to discuss, they get as excited as you because they respect you so, otherwise they wouldn't have been with you this long. There's
absolutely,
that.
Yes. When I, you know, like 18, 20 years ago, when I was looking for a few other guys to work with, you know, many guys will go, you know, who the heck are you? You know, why should I just dedicate the hours and hours of my life to play your music exclusively? Because in my band, that's what I said, sorry, guys, but this is my project. It's going to be my music. And they will say, well, can I bring, sorry, if you want to bring your music, why don't you put your band together? You know,
exactly.
So you know, it's a lot to ask for someone to dedicate a big chunk of their life exclusively to your music, you know. So there has to be some kind of a something for them, you know. And thank God, you know, they seem to be quite happy about this arrangement. So
oh
far.
My gosh! Listen, there's no question. I feel the love in every note of Invisible. There's no question. I mean, you know, even highly personal tunes, when you do something that's personal for you in the way of writing, it becomes personal for them. And I just love that you have these folks as much as you can on the road with you, because I would imagine that it's second nature. I was playing Chet Baker earlier, and it said that when he and Jerry Mulligan would play together, there was almost a telepathy back and forth about anticipation of what was coming next.
Absolutely, absolutely. And as it becomes, as it is as personal for you and for the musicians, it also becomes personal, hopefully, to the listener to a certain degree, because, you know, you can relate to the music on a personal level. You know, just that is the hope, that you're somehow able to move them at a deeper level, you know, and something that is meaningful to them, you know. So it's been great. I mean, I always take my time with all my projects. This one, as you know, it was I've been very lucky, actually. The media always has been very nice to me, and they always put my records on, you know, top 10 lists and, you know, big reviews and the whole thing. And then I think, as I told you before, I kind of disappear into my own little world here and start writing. You know, I divide my projects in three kind of aspects: the writing part of it all, the recording part of it all, and the performing part of it all. And I make them very, very separate, each era of the process. And right now I'm in the recording mode. But you know, it's been great. I feel blessed, and I feel very, very happy to be able to make a living like this, you know. And so far, I don't have a single regret nor a single complaint about my artistic life.
Oh my gosh, to be able to say that, that's wonderful. And I love that you give these reports. Most of the folks who are in the chat room today are probably, I'll just guess, that they're Facebook fans and friends. So they might be friends with you. Some of them are anonymous. They're just guests. They don't have personal names in the chat room. But let me tell those folks, if you go to Luis's page on Facebook, he gets so excited about every level of this process that he has to share it.
Yeah. And you know, if you go to the studio and you work your butt off for 12 hours, and at the end of the day, you say to yourself, "I got what I was looking for." My God, you know, you better yell it out and celebrate it, you know?
It's like a little kid for Christmas every time.
Exactly.
Oh, I'm tired, but I'm finishing it.
Yeah, exactly, because, you know, that's what this life is all about. You know, at that moment in time, nothing else matters more, you know, than that. It just, that's, you know. So, yeah, I get excited. I do get excited.
Well, and then on that note, let me ask you, because you're in recording mode now, so that means that, and I believe that tell me that the name of the new project that's due out in 2012.
Yeah, it will be out in the summer of 2012, and it's called Luz, Light.
Luz.
And you know, I think we were talking about this during our first conversation. You know, we are storytellers. You know, we tell stories, but the more often I do this, and as the years go by, I come to the realization that the story that I've been trying to tell is really one. I mean, it has variations and some, you know, curves and stuff, but ultimately it's the same story about love versus hatred, you know, light versus darkness.
Ah.
And Luz, it just, you know, it's about that. It's about that conscious effort that we go through on an everyday basis in our lives, in our actions, to choose, hopefully, the path that takes us to the light, you know, as opposed to the darkness. You know, I mean, us as humans, you know, we have to make that choice time and time and time again with our lives. You know, am I
going
to criticize this person? Am I going to talk bad about this person? Am I going to murder some? You know what I mean? I mean, we're not that extreme. We have good lives, and hopefully we're good people. But we, you know, at different levels, we make those choices all the time. And this is a reaffirmation. This project is a reaffirmation of my effort to also and always take the light, the side of the light in my life, you know, with all my actions.
Bless you.
So, so that's what it is. It's all about. I'm about halfway through the recording. It's been wonderful. I got 9 or 10 new compositions, a couple of them vocal ones. Teca Penterici, this Brazilian singer that I've been working with for a while, is there. And this time, Pera La Batalla, who is a Mexican-Argentinian singer, she sings background vocals for years and years with Leonard Cohen.
Oh, my goodness.
She's singing one tune also. So we're just plugging along.
Oh, it's and you don't know how much this is exciting to me because, you know, Luis, the whole concept of hybrid jazz is not only making sure that folks know both traditional jazz and contemporary, but everything that is derivative of jazz that you cannot classify one way or another, you know?
Right, absolutely. This, I mean, it has expanded.
The concept,
you know, of the music under the word jazz is so wide and so, it's a huge world, you know, when it comes to music. And it's hard to define, you know, it used to be done for radio and stuff like that, but now with the world shrinking so much with technology and the media and everything, you know, the influences are many for a composer, you know, these days. I was just thinking, and I was doing an interview in a newspaper yesterday, and they were asking me if I was doing a fusion on this next CD, and you know, I think it's practically impossible not to do some kind of a fusion.
Of course.
Because we belong to the entire world now, and the entire world belongs to us. You know, it's like we're influenced by everything. Whatever someone does in Argentina or in Mali or whatever, you know, we hear it, and then it becomes part of our who we are.
Well, my gosh, if this person had done any research about you, I mean, here you are. You were born in Costa Rica, and you studied classical music, but meanwhile, you were playing rock and roll.
That's right, yeah.
And then, you know, you got immersed in jazz, and of course, you can't divorce yourself from the global influences that are inherently in you.
That's right.
And you come to California, and then, you know, you also have this intense hunger for what is happening in the way of soul music. So by nature of the music that you do, it was always fusion.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly right. Yes. And we're lucky about that because we have more to draw from, you know, and so hopefully the music gets richer and more multidimensional.
Oh, listen, when somebody who is not familiar with Invisible gets a hold of this CD and thought that they knew music, it's like learning all over again what to appreciate in the way of how creative music can be and how the absolute yearning that you have, and you can't even define that yearning sometimes. I've had it all my life. But when I heard Invisible, and this is big, Louise, what I heard was able to satisfy that yearning. So it gave me real peace.
Oh, beautiful. Oh, my God. That's thanks so much, Trish, for that one. Yeah, thanks so much. It's very interesting. You know, you know, as you were saying, I was born in Costa Rica, and then I left, and I'm in California. I've been here for many, many years.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think you remember that lately my music has been having a larger impact in Costa Rica. And you know, with Invisible, I ended up getting my second award for Composer of the Year there. And I'm going to be performing in March at a humongous festival there. I think, I don't know, 75,000 people there.
Wow.
And the interesting thing is that this is my very first opportunity to share live my music with my fellow Costa Ricans in 20 years. I was there in February, and I was part of a TED organization gathering there. But I played for 10 minutes only, and only with a part of my band, only a couple of members of the band and then some Costa Rican musicians. But this will be the very first time in 20 years that I will be able to perform live in my native country. So that's a very joyful thing for me.
How exciting is that? And some of them, some of those that will be in attendance certainly know you, but they have not been able to see you, and you have had this wealth of experience now.
Right.
They're going to be blown away.
Hopefully, yeah. It's gonna, plus, I'm going to have like 6 or 7 of the best Costa Rican musicians, old friends, perform with me.
Lord!
And we're going to film it on HD, and the whole thing is going to be great. So
now, what is it called? What's it going to be called?
It's called the FIA, the International Festival of the Arts. And it's a 2-week festival. We're going to close the festival on March
24th. Woo! You're going to close it, too. Whoa.
Yeah. So
they're saving the best for last.
So,
that is
we're excited.
Well, I'm going to give people a taste because there is a very lively discussion in the chat room. There's a series of one wow after another because we've got some creative people in the chat room who are artists themselves.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful.
So they are hanging on to your every word. I wanted to play another track, and of course I'm going to play two, and I'm not going to keep you too long. So
all right.
We'll figure on this track first. And since you've spoken of Luz, I wanted to play this track, Luz del Sur,
correct,
part two.
Uh-huh.
Now, tell me about the significance of that, because there was another track named Luz on one of your other CDs.
Yeah, it was Luz del Sur, the same name, part one and part two.
Right.
You know, the theme of Luz has always been present. As I was saying, it's always the same story, you know.
Yep.
But with variations. You know, it's important to me, that concept, you know, that just to remain in light, you know, remain on that side of things, you know. And this song was originally written for an album that came out in 2007, which was my effort to put together my music with Costa Rican folklore. So that's why there's like a marimba present and an acoustic guitar present on the composition. And it is a good example of that fusion of the Costa Rican folklore with a more sophisticated harmonic structures of jazz and classical music and so forth and so on. Yeah, it's one of my favorite tunes. I think I was telling you the last time, I used also the pedal steel guitar on this.
I know.
Inspired by King Sonny Ade, the Nigerian juju music composer that often uses the pedal steel guitar. You know, pedal steel guitar is such a symbol of country and Western music. You
yes.
know, that pretty much almost exclusively you hear that instrument on that type of music. But some of the African guys have been using it in their music, and it seems to fit really well. So I gave it a try, and I think it just fit like a glove. I thought was a nice blend there.
Oh, this is absolute ear candy, ear bliss for those who have not heard this track. This is from, and I can't speak enough about the CD Invisible by Luis Munoz, Luz del Sur Part 2 on Hyper Jazz. From Trish Hennessy. Here we go.
Thank you.
That is just so amazing to me. Oh, my gosh. The work of Luis Munoz right here on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy, and something from his Something Wonderful, as is every piece of song writing and arranging and composing on the CD. Just amazing. And Luis, you know what? It's so funny how people make these analogies, but when my dad was with me, we used to watch movies together all the time when I was a little girl. And he let me watch pretty much everything because he knew I could handle it. So one of the movies that we saw was The Thing, the original Thing from starring James Arness from Gunsmoke fame, who played The Thing. It was The Thing from Outer Space. And the direction on this film was such, I even understood it when I was little. I loved what the director did, and it's what you do with your songs. The director had a scenario whereby there was action in the forefront, but you were always very much aware that something was going on behind the action. Uh-huh. And you were hungry to hear more, but it didn't interfere with the forefront action. It was just this amazing, mesmerizing mesh of life the way it really is.
Interesting analogy, yeah, interesting. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. There, I mean, I listen to every nook and cranny of what the heck is going on back there.
Well, you know, a lot of us often are not really listening to music. We so often put the music in the background while we chat with people or whatever, you know. But I'm not like that. When I listen to music, I just sit down on my bed and I just put the music on, and all I do is listen. I don't do anything else.
Right.
So, you know, and that's the way you're right. There's so many subplots and so many little hidden jewels, you know, behind some of the main stuff that enriches the music and enriches the experience of listening.
Oh, and then when the steel guitar comes in, you don't expect that, and you go, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Isn't that a beautiful thing? And it's like two continents intersected in that song.
Right. Yeah. I'm glad you enjoyed it so much. It was fun to write, fun to record, and it is fun to perform. We play it live, and it's a fun tune.
And speaking of which, might there be a possibility? I mean, do you have any plans formulated as to where you're going to tour in 2012? Could it possibly be a scenario where you could come to Baltimore, D.C.?
You know, we're going to try our best to go everywhere, you know. We're definitely going to try to go to the East Coast and overseas and everything. We're just starting to get some gigs for next year. But, since I'm kind of like a one-man band in the sense that I used to have management in Manhattan. I no longer do. So it's like pretty much I have an agent in South America and Costa Rica that helps me with the gigs there and the stuff. But pretty much I'm just doing it all myself right now.
Wow. Okay.
So, you know, whatever comes my way. But, yeah, we got some upcoming gigs in the U.S. Nothing in that area yet, but I'll definitely keep you posted. I would love to, not just to play there, but I would love to see you in person and to hang out with you and to, you know.
Oh, my gosh.
Thank you in person for all your love.
Oh, it's undying, never ending, that's for sure. And believe me, I've been thinking about where you need to play because there are some rooms in both Baltimore and D.C. and actually right in between, like Annapolis, Maryland, that would be so fitting for what you're doing. It would just knock the socks off of folks who are not necessarily familiar with you. But I honestly think that, Luis, come 2012, there's going to be more of an international following than you ever imagined.
That is the hope. You know, I think, again, we talked about this the previous time briefly, but it is always nice when you get the appreciation from folks and everything, you know. But I'm like a little, how can I put it? I'm almost like a hermit. in the sense that I found, thank God, what I love to do with my life. You know, I'm a husband, I'm a father, and you know, but this is my outlet, you know, for joy. It used to be soccer. I used to be a big soccer player all my life and everything, but now I'm getting too old for that, so I have to kind of give it up. So now
you have
just
to consider your knees.
I'm sorry?
You have to consider your knees and your legs.
Exactly.
Right.
I need to play drums, yeah. So, you know, I do this. I get in my little cave in front of my piano, and, you know, I don't know. Third World War could be happening outside. I'm in my cave there doing my thing. And when we get the feedback from people, that is really a wonderful source of joy. But it is not really the reason why you do this. You know, you do it because you need to do it because it is your, you know, it is what your heart asks you to do, you know.
It's in your blood.
Yeah. And I think, I come from a family where there have been a lot of composers and musicians, most of them amateur, but, you know, my father had many, many brothers and sisters, and all of them play an instrument.
Oh, that's wonderful.
My grandmother had a brother and a sister who were composers. So, as you say, it is in the blood.
Yes. It's funny how these things can get passed along. And I'm not sure if it's that, really. It's just because by osmosis, when you're growing up, you begin to see what people do on a day-to-day, and you don't even think twice about doing anything else.
Exactly. You know, as I said, once you find something that brings you that inner peace and that joy and that pleasure, you know, you stick with it. That's it. That's my thing. I'm going to just milk it for all it's worth, you know.
Oh, Louise, I can't imagine. I have often thought, because you were studying architecture too, what would we have done had you decided to go into that line of work? You would have been fabulous, I'm sure.
Well, thanks. Yeah. But I was, that was in the 70s, and I was a little bit too crazy in my head. I couldn't handle it. I was doing a lot of naughty things that, you know, just didn't give me the enough concentration on so many numbers and lines and things. So I preferred to go for the music.
Well, you're crazy in all the best ways now, because you are able to conjure some notions in the universe and solidify them through music that nobody else has done. I call myself a globalist these days, and of course I'm proud of my country, but I love the idea that people grasp the notion in different ways of jazz, in Africa differently, in France differently,
mm-hmm.
in Costa Rica, in England. Everybody's got this notion of what it is that excites them and makes them want to live another day when it comes to jazz.
Exactly. And I'm with you 100%. We are citizens of the world.
Yeah.
I mean, nationalism, you know, wonderful and everything. For soccer, I love nationalism. I always go for Costa Rica during the World Cup and all that. But when it comes to just what my place is in this universe, I'm of the universe. And,
yes.
And you have to see it like that, you know, and all welcoming and you know, that kind of a thing. And it reflects, you got to reflect on your art form, you know, and on your lives, and, you know, whatever we do, you know, be a musician or be, I mean, without you, I'm nothing without you. We need you guys to play the stuff and to share the stuff and everything, you know.
Well, here's why I gravitate to some artists more than others. Sometimes I get the notion that when I hear certain people play or perform, they're looking over their shoulder because they're intimidated by others that might give the appearance of being better than they.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what art is about at all.
Absolutely.
And the more that I have delved into, and I think that we have talked about this, maybe not, the secret, I just love the notion that the more you eliminate the word competition from your vocabulary, the better it is.
Absolutely.
Because
that's going to be non-existent.
Exactly. When you understand that what you have is so specific to you, and that the more that you can enhance somebody else with their gift, the better the universe is, that the more that, that God smiles on you, you are doing what you were created to do. So anything that is a selfish notion about art, art and selfishness do not have anything to do with each other.
Absolutely. We are unique. We're all of us, we're unique. There's no other Trish Hennessy in the world. You are the one. And we know we got what we have, and it's there to share and to give, you know. And the more we concentrate on that aspect of who we are, without trying to be like anybody else or trying to emulate or whatever, I mean, it is a constant effort, I think, for an artist to find your own voice. If there's such a thing as a battle for an artist, it is precisely that. To have to find your own voice, and you have to concentrate on who you really are, and you have to be truthful to yourself and truthful to the world, and speak with your own voice freely and openly.
Yes,
and, you know, that's the best approach. And yeah, exactly. That does things about competition, and that's just meaningless to me. Yes.
And I know, and that's why I love your music so much, Luis, because I just how can you possibly describe this? When I first heard you, I thought, what is the difference with this work that I'm hearing? Honestly, there was palpable love that was coming through speakers. I thought, how can anybody possibly convey that? And of course, it makes sense that you have had these musicians around you for years. So once the silly stuff, the basics, the ego is out of the equation.
Exactly.
Then you can be free to create this music with the spontaneity and the joy that it was meant to have. And all of that was coming out. I was just blown away.
And it's important to stay in touch with those experiences that define us. You know, I told you that when I was a little boy, you know, I had a close call, so to speak. I had an open heart surgery when I was 6 years old.
That's right. It
put me in touch with my own mortality. And you would think that a six-year-old and death, you know, what is this all about? You know, you're not going to get anything out of an experience like that other than pain and everything. But no, I remember just being very, in a very clear way, being very aware of that. You're here or you're not here, and I'm going through some weird thing, but I'm going to enjoy everything, every moment of my existence because we are mortal, you know. You know, so that makes me that always made me just be in the moment, be in the present, you know, and not really bother with all those things about. All those meaningless things, you know, like competition and all that. It's just about the love and about the enjoyment, you know. And I feel so lucky to have this opportunity to do this, you know. And so lucky to talk to you and to talk to those who are listening. And I'm very grateful for those who are listening. And thanks so much, guys, indirectly.
It will be an ongoing process because, you know, that the beauty of having something like this is that within a short time it goes into archive so anybody can hear the show at any time.
Oh, well, great. There you go.
Yeah. Now you live in a part of California. I'm thinking because I see it on your Facebook page, Luis, you play out rather frequently in the area, do you not?
Yeah, I do because, you know, You see, my musicians in my band also play with millions of other bands, and they're always on the road. You know, one guy is in Canada now, another guy I think is in Japan, and you know, so it's like a constant, you know, travel. So the minute we get together, we try to play as often as possible in the area. I'm only 100 miles from Los Angeles, in Santa Barbara, which is which is really heaven. If you haven't been here,
yes,
you should be here one day. This is really, I mean, I travel a lot, and Santa Barbara is really one of the greatest places on this earth. It's really a great, great place.
And it's funny you should mention that, because one of the people in our chat room is living in Marina Del Rey, which is another paradise.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, well, I have friends in Marina Del Rey. Yes, it's only about an hour and 20 minutes from here.
Oh, very nice to know that. That's good. Okay, I can kill two birds with one stone sometime in 2012 then.
There you go. Door is already open.
Oh, that's fabulous. What are some of the places around there that are good to go to hear music?
Well, in Los Angeles, there's a lot of places. I mean, the summer is great. You know, they have a lot of free music series, like at LAGMA, the museum, and all kinds of places. You know, we have a couple of great jazz clubs through the Baked Potato and a couple of places. We unfortunately lost one of the greatest, if not the greatest, jazz club in the central coast of California, which was the Jazz Bakery.
Oh, yes.
And Ruth Price, who's done an incredible job for jazz in the world, is what she's doing right now is she's doing concerts in different venues, kind of like a mobile, kind of like a, you know, Jazz Bakery concert series. But I know for a fact that in 2012 that she already found another place. And in 2012, the Jazz Bakery is going to open again.
Oh, thank God.
The greatest jazz artists in the world play. We've played there several times. But, yeah, you know, California is great for music. You know, we have all kinds of venues, large and small.
And you know, this is we could delve on this, and I know that our time is getting to be short, but how is your feeling about the hope that you have for jazz? I have a lot of hope. Do you?
You know, I first of all, what we were talking before about the definition of jazz, you know, is
yes,
such a wide spectrum of musics now. But just that kind of a creative music in general is being highly appreciated by the public, especially when they realize that the pop music and everything that is being put out by the industry doesn't have much to say, you know, to them. So there's like almost like an underground movement where people, like, you know, have a, let's say we played last month at a place called the Piano Kitchen. It's a small little, it's like a large garage in the industrial section of Santa Barbara, where this artist brings people from all over the country to play, you know, and people are looking for those sources of good music, you know. I don't really worry about it. I think jazz is going to be present forever, and if anything, is going to be growing more and more. You know, the situation, the financial situation overall, affects everything, and the arts unfortunately seems to be one of the first things when it comes to cuts in budgets and things like that. But it is such a necessary food for the soul,
yes,
that people will always do anything, whatever it is necessary, to have art forms like jazz present in their lives.
I agree. And it also, some rough times in the past few years have pushed people to the wall to make them think, okay, I got to go to Plan B.
Mm-hmm.
Happily, Plan B has often been, for some artists, that they spread their wings and they flew.
Mm-hmm.
And the box that they found themselves in, they're no longer in. So all this creativity is coming to the surface, and
yeah,
out of these challenging times, there has been a movement that has spread where people are getting together and creating and playing in the same sandbox together, as I've always envisioned.
Exactly.
You know, the straight-ahead like people, yeah, and the contemporary jazz people. Now I don't hear so many straight-ahead people say, oh, well, that stuff stinks. And I don't hear the contemporary jazz people say anymore, oh, they're just snobs.
Exactly.
Now people
exactly.
are working together.
Yes, yes, out of necessity, and we just discovered, you know, things all the time, you know, and I think everybody comes to the realization that we we're stronger as we remain together, you know, and work together in one same common direction.
Yeah, I think that we're going to see some things happening this coming year that are going to take some people by surprise, even the folks who are bent on being naysayers.
Yes.
Because there's a lot of them, Luis.
Oh, yes. But the light always wins. The light always wins.
You are absolutely right. And the more I think about that, of course, I believe that from another aspect. But, yes, the more we can foster that kind of terminology in our world, because really, back to what you said previously this hour, and it was so important, there are constant decisions that we have to make, and we have to keep choosing the light.
Exactly.
Because once we go in the other direction, it gets easier to go down that road.
Exactly. Gets sticky. Yeah.
Yeah. So I thank you for your philosophy today.
I thought we were going to be talking about music, and now it's like an existential conversation here.
Well, you know, I know where I'm coming from, and I, you know, I find joy in my faith. So whenever I see somebody who comes from a different kind of direction, but essentially saying the same thing,
exactly common elements, absolutely. I know where you come from. I think there's many common elements in our perspectives in life. Absolutely.
Yes. Oh, my gosh, more common elements than there are things to divide us.
Exactly.
And that's my Christmas wish, that people would get that.
Yes.
Phew-wee. Yeah.
We should tell that to the guys in D.C., in Washington, the politicians and all that.
Well, look, I really think that our president is doing what he can.
Yes, and he has, you know what, he has my support.
Yes.
100%.
I absolutely agree, and you know what? At the risk of appearing to be bad here, I'm just going to put it out there that the more we see those who would try to take his place, the more he looks like the second coming, okay?
Oh, absolutely. I already voted for him for the next election.
I am so serious. I mean, it just looks like a comedy of errors over and over again.
Yes,
and
yes.
I think to myself, wow, is this really happening? But it is. And
after
look,
all the distortion and all the white noise and everything that everybody puts out, he's still the man.
Oh, trust me, he's James Bond, shaken, not stirred, baby.
I love that. Good one, Trish.
Luis, it was so cool to have you, and I'm not going to leave you hanging because I am going to play Adam's Dream.
Oh, wonderful.
I'm going to let you go and then have people hear it, and then I'll close out the show. But tell me about that song before you go.
My son, he's 22. That was my gift to him, kind of like a rite of passage type thing, you know. As a matter of fact, I just wrote some lyrics, and I'm doing a vocal version. It's already been recorded.
Oh, that's great.
Yes, there's already been recorded a vocal version with totally different tape, totally different instrumentation, different thing altogether. It's just... telling him, you know, just take off, you know, just follow your path, and I'll be here forever, you know, if you ever need me, but, you know, that kind of a thing. And my wonderful son, Adam, yeah.
That is lovely. I thought that was the case, and, you know, I wanted to make sure before I presumed, because one never presumes when it comes to art. So having you say that means everything. So this is a great closer for the show. God bless you, Luis Munoz. I love you. You know I do.
Likewise. I love you too, Trish. Thanks so much, and let's keep in touch.
Oh, we certainly will.
And thanks, everyone, for listening.
Oh, that's so sweet of you to say that, because you said that three times. God bless you. And we'll hear more about what's coming up in 2012.
All righty.
All right, you.
Okay. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yes. Oh, yes. It's such fun to do this show when you get to talk to people that are rare, like Luis Munoz. So grateful to have had the blessing of having his music come to my attention, and then to have not met him face-to-face, as is the case these days for so many of the folks that we come in contact with. Facebook has done a beautiful job of making sure that acquaintances become friendships and alliances that will never be broken. It just seems that way. This is one of those highlights of Invisible by Luis. Adam's Dream, you heard him tell the story of the fact that it's about his son. One of those songs that when I heard the CD for the first time, I just stopped what I was doing and went, okay, you're not going anywhere. You just have to lean back. This is almost a 7-minute track, and you just enjoy the immersion of the peace and the joy and the love that is coming forth from this tune. Adam's Dream from Invisible, Luis Munoz on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Yeah, we were just saying, folks in the chat room and I corresponding back and forth, seriously, the interplay of that saxophone and percussion from Luis is just too incredible for words. Oh my. That was Adam's Dream from Invisible, Luis Munoz. Just one of those incredible artists that is a joy to speak with and to gain knowledge from. That scenario that he painted of being a six-year-old little boy with heart surgery, I believe that changed him, and that wise soul took over. Thank God that out of some despair, many times, most of the time, if you just look around, there are amazing things that can happen from the ultimate in pain. Woo! Lord, have mercy. Good stuff. You know what? I need to tell you that next time around on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy, it will be Debbie Poole. Yoo-hoo! Baltimore-based singer who is getting some buzz for this new CD she has. Lord. And then on YouTube, there's a couple of videos that are getting some major buzz, too. So that's a good thing. We're going to have some excellent folks on the way. Matter of fact, we're full up until Christmas. And don't forget that on Monday, we just learned this in the past 24 hours, on Monday on Cool Jazz Conversations with Joy Hall and myself, it will be Joyce Cooling. She's doing something very special. She has a holiday single out, and the proceeds for that holiday single will be very much to enhance the image of what one needs to do if one has a mental health challenge. So during this time of year, I can't think of anything that's more important than making sure that your mental health and those of people that you love is intact. We need to make sure that we take care of our brothers and sisters a lot better, and Joyce Cooling is going to tell us how on Monday's Cool Jazz Conversations, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And, of course, that's via Blog Talk Radio. And I thank all the folks at BTR. They've done such a great job. Thanks to Norman. Thanks to Wanda, who joined us today. Chris, for a while, all our anonymous guests. And, of course, my valuable sister friend who is always there, Miss Griselda in Texas. Love you so much, all of you. God bless you. And we'll see you next time. Be safe, be happy, and know that you are loved in a few different ways. See you next time.